You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon Newscast at newscast.webcomicbeacon.com.
It's Sunday, October 28th, 2012, and this is the Webcomic Beacon Newscast with, from evilspacecat.com, Marie Terry.
Hello, internets.
BladeBunny.com, Eric Kimball.
Greetings and salutations, internet.
And joining us today from GenderAddict.com is Typhon Blue.
Greetings.
And that's GenderAddict.com. And of course, I'm the one who gets stuck spelling all this stuff. I'm Thomas Revoir from 910 Comics. That's 910cmx.com. And let's take a look at what's in the news this week. We're going to start off with a news that affects everybody in webcomics, whether you want to or not. And that is Project Wonderful, one of the largest ad sharing systems that we use here in webcomics. They are allowing adult combat. Ooh, that
was tight. Project Wonderful invaded Iraq.
Adult combat.
I don't know what weaponry they use, but adult content is being allowed back on Project Wonderful, along with their usual classifications of safe for children and the standard. They're now adding in a new NSFW category, not safe for work, of course, which...
No, they're not adding. They're adding an adult category. Plus, they're keeping their.
Well,
they're keeping their not safe for work, and then they're adding an even more not safe for work.
I misread the article. Yeah, they're now adding a fourth category of sexy stuff for adults. Part of that is primarily because PayPal, who handles all the processing for payments from Project Wonderful, had put limits on what they are. Now they're going through and they're stretching some of their stuff a little bit. So now Project Wonderful is being allowed to add this fourth category in. So for those of you who run some of these on-the-edge webcomic sites or other sites that are a little out there, you can now use Project Wonderful for your ads again. I'm sure that
boobies.
You are just jumping for joy at that one. But let's go ahead and go into other business with our business section. Marie, you go ahead and take it away.
All right. We've got four articles in the business section today. We're going to start off with one about Girl Genius. It appears that Girl Genius is having to move their direct sales to topatico.com, and that's good news for them since they're not going to be packing orders in their basement anymore, and they're going to have the wonderful people there fulfilling orders, so hopefully they will be faster and allow them to get to more comic making so that they don't have to worry about fulfilling orders anymore. Our next one comes from icv2.com. It is an article about comic retailers and the return of comic readers to comic stores. They are cautiously optimistic about the return of their customers, and the article gives some figures and about how people are coming back after the new 52 launch. It is interesting if you are in that world that is of interest to you. You can check out the link in the show notes as usual. Our third story is talking about New York Comic Con. It looks like, according to panels on pages.com, that New York Comic Con could become the new San Diego Comic Con. It's a fairly lengthy article talking about various spaces and how that New York City Comic Con has been growing and could outstrip Comic Con as being one of the most attended comic conventions in the world. They have a new convention center, then they're able to expand, I guess, more than San Diego, which is kind of restricted by the size of their convention center, which they've outgrown now and have outgrown for a little while, which means they have to turn people away. So could San Diego Comic-Con become number two? Well, we'll find out in 2013. If you want to read the rest of the article, the link is, of course, in the show notes. Our last article involves freemium. We had an article in the past about freemium being dead. Well, now it sounds like freemium is the bomb. Coming to us from GigaOhm.com, our article talks about how the freemium model is actually leaving premium model in the dust. Some of these figures are very impressive, such as growing over 3.5% in 2002, going something like, it's ridiculous, like not $970 million of in-app purchases from freemium apps. It's just amazing. Like, and they expect it to actually grow to $5.6 billion by 2015 and representing something like 64% of the total market. So it looks like freemium is not dead, which is, of course, extremely good news for us in the webcomic business who often use a sort of freemium model to look at making our comics a little bit more, how shall we say, financially viable. So if you want to read the article, which is fairly lengthy, it's got all kinds of lovely graphs in it, our link is in the show notes. And that's all for the business. Back to you, Tom.
Thank you, Marie. We always enjoy it when you give us the business.
Oh, that sounded filthy.
Now, it's going to be that type of show today, folks. So cover the kids' ears and...
and your own.
Extremely not safe for work.
But let's go ahead and go over now to our education division with Typhon. Typhon, why don't you go ahead and tell us what's happening over there?
Thanks. There's one item in the education newscast. The Power of Quiet, an RSA animation on the power of introverts. It's by author Suzanne Cain, and it argues that in today's society, too much attention is paid to extroverts, and that introverts deserve our attention as well. It's a short film, and it's very much worth checking out. It's stop animation. It's done with ink and paper, and it's quite beautiful and very well done. And the argument is essentially that, you know, we spend a lot of attention on introverts, on extroverts, but introverts, because they, you know, exit society and think their little thoughts in their little corners, often have lots of interesting stuff to bring us. But it also has a point that it's not saying that extroversion is bad, but that it is the synergy between introversion and extroversion that's brought a lot of our innovation to the world. So anyway, it's definitely worth checking out. And it has a very nice message, a message of cooperation. And the link to it is in the show notes. It's at laughingsquid.com. The Power of Quiet by Susan Cain.
At this point, I would probably leave a few seconds of blank space, but you know, silence is death in the radio show. So I could see he being a little more extroverted here than introverted here. We're going to dive right back in with our latest newcomer, Typhon. Typhon, you're going to tell us what's happening in our tech division as well. We seem to have something cool coming from MIT.
Well, we have five cool things coming from MIT, the first of which is circuitry on paper and fabric that allows for interactivity so you can have prints that actually move. And then there's also do-it-yourself objects that are integrating the events of open source software and open source hardware to create essentially a situation where people can make their own gadgetry like cell phones. And then there's more a better, more realistic displays that are getting closer and closer to 3D holograms, although we're not quite there yet. And augmented reality that maybe in the future we'll be able to point and click and get information on the objects and people around us. And 3D printed buildings, which is really interesting. It's essentially you can extrude a building, a computer model of a building, and then 3D print it into reality. And finally, there's this really cool, cute, creepy, bizarre little furry dragon thing that is, it must be seen to be believed. Anyway, you can see more if you follow the link in the show notes. It's at comicsbeat.com. Oh, sorry. Nope. Incorrect. GigaOhm.com. And definitely take a look at that weird little dragony thingy thing. It's very bizarre and adorable and bizarre.
I don't know. You're talking cool, cute, creepy, bizarre, must be seen to be believed. Until you said dragonish thingy, I was thinking you were talking about Eric over there.
Oh, burn.
You are in a mood today, Tom.
Oh, I'm always in a mood. I thought you people knew that by now.
Girls, please, no cat fights.
But let's go ahead and give Eric a chance to get back at me, and go ahead and tell us what's happening in the tidbit section today.
In tidbits today, we have five articles coming to us from various sources. Our first article comes to us from Comics Beat. It's a quick article letting us know that Dark Horse, the comic publisher, is to publish Sin Titulo, which is a horror comic that was published online. They're going to publish the whole comic as a series of collections, and it should be coming out soon. Speaking of Kickstarter, we've already talked a little, or speaking of, we weren't talking about Kickstarter. Speaking of Kickstarter, Kickstarter has now opened up for business within the UK. Kickstarter was primarily a US-only based operation. They have now extended their business out to the UK, so you can have UK-based Kickstarters as well as US-based Kickstarters. That comes to us from Comics Beat as well. Coming to us from the Washington Post, we have a Pulitzer Prize winner actually going to Kickstarter to publish his new book. We have Matt Boris, the Pulitzer Prize winning cartoonist, is going to actually go to Kickstarter to publish his works and use it as a launch platform for his information, just showing how Kickstarter is expanding its reach. Our fourth article comes to us from slash.org. And this is an article about Wikipedia nearing completion. Now, it seems impossible that Wikipedia could ever be complete. It's supposed to be an encyclopedia of everything. But it notes the trends in Wikipedia and how they're losing editors, and most of their work is now being put into maintenance of articles instead of generating new articles. So we're seeing that Wikipedia may reach a point where the maintenance of it outpaces the creation of new articles, and nothing more can be added simply because of the task of maintaining all of the information in it. One more article comes to us from FullScaleMillenniumFalcon.com, which is a project to build a full-scale Millennium Falcon, which is actually pretty cool to look at. We applaud this project, and we'll see how it turns out. That's what we got from Tidbits this week, Tom.
I remember a story a few years back about a model of the Millennium Falcon being made out of bubble gum.
Yep,
of course. I mean, that was rather chewy.
Oh,
this guy's actually putting a lot of work into it, but getting the electronics and paneling all right, and is really trying to make it look as close to the Millennium Falcon as possible.
Joking aside, there was a project a few years back over in Vegas where they're going to make a full-scale Starship Enterprise. Yep. Of course, that fell through. But let's hope this guy actually has a little bit of work.
Yep.
I guess that brings it back to me now. Trying to put off this section as much as I can. They've given me the oddities this week. And our top story in oddities, oh boy. Marie, this is more up your line. After the few weeks, especially after the adult story over on Project Wonderful. But we've got, for those of you who were not annoyed enough by the Nyan Cat videos going everywhere, you now can order handcrafted Nyan Cat Pop-Tart Cat Rainbow Pasties. Yeah, that's right. Pasties. So you can have your Nyan Cat flashing all over the place while you're flashing other things. This comes to us over from Etsy.com, E-T-S-Y.com, and all tassels and pasties come with pasty tape, twirling tips, and application instructions. And that's about all that I'm going to say on this point before we get any further on that one. And let's get into a section where I think that we're going to have a little bit more fun. Eric did a bunch of searching in honor of the spirit of Halloween this week. And he's given us a bunch of music videos.
I gave you a horde of music videos.
Is that what they call it? I mean, a horde of zombie music videos. Unlike disco, which keeps coming back from the dead, these are actually good music videos. And we're going to go ahead and start off with first one. For those of you who are fond of the hellish vision of the future known as the comic and popular TV show The Walking Dead, we've got the first one where it's Walking Dead the musical.
Life is hard for the Walking Dead. You bombard us with screams of dread.
Every living we meet thinks we want some of it.
They make lead.
They don't see.
We need it.
Life is hard for the Walking Dead.
When stop run, they make smash my head.
Every places we go, you make shouting.
Share with you the show.
Next up from the minds at How It Should Have Ended, we have a zombie serenading his one true love, brains.
I'm just a lonely zombie. I'm just a lonely zombie. Somebody tell me where are the brains? I really need to eat some brains.
Brains are this way.
Brains are this way.
Brains are this way.
Brains are this way.
Fan favorite Jonathan Colton brings us a message from Zombie Corporate Headquarters about an important meeting regarding, what else? Your brains and your brains.
Hey, Tom, it's Bob from the office down the hall. It's good to see you, buddy. How have you been? Things have been okay for me, except that I'm a zombie now. Really wish you'd let us in. I think I speak for all of us when I say I understand why you folks might hesitate to submit to our demand. But here's an FYI, you're all gonna die screaming.
All we wanna do is eat your brains.
But not all zombies are about the brains. This song from Your Favorite Martian is about zombie love. Granted, it does get a little stalkerish toward the end, but hey, love is still love.
Well, you don't know me, baby, but I seen you around. It might seem kind of crazy, but I'm just new in town. And now I wonder what you think if I said, hey, look, I'd like to get your number and a link to your Facebook. Now, if I tell you what a nice guy's supposed to, would that compel you not to scream when I approach you? You'll have to promise me you'll take this news calmly, but honestly, I'm sort of a zombie.
Zombie girls want love, too, and in this song from Stephanie Maybe, one zombie girl tells us that her love is so special to her, she's not going to eat his brains. Well, not until after marriage, of course. And how is that different from any other wife?
Oh. I'm going to eat your brains.
I'd be slowly walking in a group stalking you. You'd be the only man alive that I could not resist. Then all of your friends, they'd try to kill us, but only because they'd be jealous that our love is deeper than Edward and Bella's. Oh, if I were a zombie, I'd never eat your brain. I just want your heart, yeah, I want your heart, I just want your heart.
But not all love is eternal in this song from Sarah Gibson. She lets her love know that the zombie apocalypse, she will trip him. It's not that I can run faster than them. It's I just have to run faster than you.
Zombie apocalypse tears apart relationships. They rip out lovers' hearts, and it's too bad because they will never start again. Zombies took over my love again, again. Zombies took over my love again, again.
My personal favorite, from No More Kings. They let us know that being a zombie is the cool thing to do with their song, Zombie Me.
I've become a zombie me. Now I slide down the street with no shoes on my feet, looking for brains to eat. I'm a zombie me.
And also from No More Kings, and a tribute to the first zombie film of all time, they have They're Coming to Get You, Barbara.
They're coming to get you, Barbara. They're coming and they'll be here soon. Don't be afraid, they just want your brain, and they're coming to get you.
And of course, zombies love the classics too, being probably as old as some of the classics. So they cover the classic Kansas song, Dust in the Wind. And of course, to wrap this all up, from Mr. Calypso himself, Harry Belafonte, we've got the Zombie Jamboree.
It was a zombie jamboree, took place in a New York cemetery. It was a zombie jamboree, took place in a New York cemetery. Zombies from all parts of the island, of them was a fake Calypsonian. Though the season was carnival, get together in Bacchanal and they're singing back to back, belly to belly. Well, I don't give a damn, I done dead already. We go back to back, belly to belly at the zombie jamboree. You hear me?
And that's it for music videos for this week. I'm surprised that you, of course, did not include anything in from the 60s group, The Zombies, but hey. So I'm going to toss it back over to you to where you can try to explain some of this stuff, Eric, but in things that make us cry.
We've got one thing that makes us cry. Those of you who have been reading the new Superman this week noticed that Superman quit his job because of the lack of reporting integrity at the Daily Planet. And it has been released by some of the editors that Superman's next job, Clark Kent's next job, may be something online, implying that Superman could be the next Drudge reporter, although, for all we know, he could be a webcomic artist. That's what they're doing this week, and we will talk about this in discussion. I don't even know where to start with this. It's little nerve-wracking to see people who have quite a bit of antipathy for online giving Superman an online job. But we'll see where it goes from there. And that's the thing that makes us cry this week, Tom.
And that also is the last thing that we've gotten of our story. We're going to go ahead and take our second break now, and we'll be back with our discussion period right after this.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network. Follow us on Twitter for news links as we find them at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeaconnews@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. Love the show? Please grab the iTunes or RSS feed. We are also on Stitcher.com with Stitcher Smart Radio, an on-demand service where you can stitch podcast and radio show feeds together for your own personal streaming service. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, news, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back to the Webcomic Beacon Newscast. It's time for our Halloween-based discussion period. Our panelists today are, from the gravesite, BladeBunny.com, Eric Kimball.
Greetings.
From the afterlife of genderaddict.com, Typhon Blue.
Hello.
She's here to suck your blood. From evilspacecat.com, Marie Terry.
Yes.
That leaves me, the one guy left after the massacre, Thomas Revoir, from 910 Comics at 910cmx.com. And let's go right into the discussion period. And, Marie, you're the one who wanted this first, so,
What? No, it was me.
Go to the email.
It was so much
you're
fun.
You're misattributing.
Okay. This story was just one that we had to talk about because so many people wanted to do it here. not me. And that was the burlesque Nyan Cat Pop-Tart pasties. I mean, how much can we really talk about this? I mean, because granted, it's a large subject to cover.
With very little to cover it.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I'm looking at the actual pasties. And what's really curious is that it completely contextless. They look so innocuous and sequiny, and they have little smiles, and there's no build up to the nefarious purposes that they will be put.
Well, I could guarantee you that when they're in use, that people are not going to be looking at the Nyan Cat. I mean, I love the line that they've got here. Nipple tassels are individually handcrafted with extreme attention to detail, pride, and love.
That is the line that gets me, because it implies that there are nipple tassels that are not handcrafted or something. That there's just a nipple tassel factory in China or something like that.
Yeah, I believe there is.
I think that could be the case.
And if there is, what do they think they're doing there?
It's funny, I've never heard of this
place. It's called supplying adult shops.
I don't know. I believe this. There may be a lot more to the story. It may just be getting the beginning of a big cover up.
Is it bad that I actually know a show that would probably, like, the dancers would actually use these? I actually know of a burlesque show in Vancouver where they would use something like this, because it's specifically a geek based like burlesque show called Nerdlesque.
No, here's my question.
I have seen a number of geek burlesque shows. I mean, there are burlesque shows at Intervention every year. They have a burlesque show there. I think
that's aptly named.
Intervention.
Yeah. I just have a question about the crafts. I wonder what the thought was behind not making the tassel itself rainbow colored. I mean, that seems to.
Yes, there is a clear oversight in the quality.
I don't know if I can really qualify this as crafted with love, considering that they didn't go that extra step and make tassel.
And hand-dye their tassel?
Yes.
Well, when they say they make them by hand, I mean, I can't help but wonder how into it they're getting. I have to say that out of so many strange things we've seen, this is definitely one of the ones that's really up there.
Oh, the shop owner's from BC here in Canada, Victoria. Oh, okay. This doesn't surprise me at all, man.
Okay, so now we know what caused the earthquake over there. I mean, you made cat tassels? Woo! The world exploded.
Somewhere offshore there, yeah. It just exploded for no reason. It's 7.7 earthquake, yeah.
But speaking of explosions, let's go ahead and go down to our next topic of discussion before we get further into anything that could get us in trouble. And that is the story that Clark Kent, a.k.a. Superman. The reporter for a major metropolitan newspaper is no longer going to be a reporter for a major metropolitan newspaper. DC Comics, in their infinite wisdom, and yes, you can see the sarcasm dripping from me over the radio, has gone through and decided to have him quit the Daily Planet to start up a blog and, as I've seen in one report, become the next Matt Drudge.
There are just three levels that this is wrong. Okay? I mean, first of all, I'm just, if you're a Superman fan, it just doesn't make any sense at all, because, first of all, when is Superman ever given a damn about his job? He goes to the Daily Planet to hang out with people. That's the only reason he's doing this. He's never been into reporting. If something's going wrong, he doesn't say, I got to write this down on a story. No, he punches it. I mean,
Let me go back. I mean, I'm going to discuss this on three levels. Yes. One is before Infinite Crisis on Infinite Earths. One is afterward, and one is the New 52.
Yeah.
Beforehand, I mean, they used to run a series of B stories in the Superman comics called The Private Life of Clark Kent, where it dealt with him being, at his job, a television reporter for WGBS News. And, I mean, it showed him what he is. After Crisis, when they got rid of that and made him a newspaper reporter again, they had shown him as an award-winning reporter and also an award-winning novelist, where he had written fiction stories, along the lines of a Jean Le Carre, whatever. I mean, mystery stories. So, I mean, he had a lot of well-renowned as a writer, as well as a reporter. But, I mean, they wiped all that out with the New 52, and it seems like this is just a gimmick to what's popular now. Oh, blogs are.
Yeah.
Let's do something with that.
Well, that's the real problem. They're looking at it and saying, what do the kids like these days? Well, the kids like that internet thing. Well, we'll have Superman on the internet. But the whole point of Superman having a job, and this is the thing that killed me, because I actually read this comic. I got my hands on it from someone else who had bought it. In it, Superman laments that he has to get a job and wishes he could just make money as Superman. The man who can see through the ground, who can crush coal into diamonds, who can do all of these amazing things, can't figure out how to make money with his superpowers. It's so stupid.
Maybe it's an ethical thing. He doesn't want to make money with his superpowers.
Well,
says he wants to be able to make money as Superman.
Okay, then it's stupid.
Well, and let's go ahead, because those of us in the webcomic world, those of us on the online world who do this as our profession, know. Matt Drudge, let's use him as an example, because he's the one that's being brought up. He's been at this for a long time. If you're just starting off, you're not going to make money, much less be able to afford a Metropolis apartment and high lifestyle. You're not going to be able to afford armor for your costume or whatever. It's unrealistic. They're probably going to have him go ahead and be a complete success the first time out.
No, see, here's what I fear. I fear that they are setting up a straw man here. If they went out and had him be a success the first time out, fine, that's bad writing. Whatever. My fear is that they're doing this just to show how awful it is online and how you artists and you writers shouldn't try going online and making your comics. No, no, no. You need a publisher. Because online is awful, and see, Superman's having a horrible time online.
Well, see, I think you're right in them setting up a straw man, but I'm looking at a different straw man, because they've made the continual reference to Matt Drudge.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, almost everybody in the print comic book industry over in New York goes to the left on varying degrees. They don't like someone like Matt Drudge because of what he covers. They don't like Fox News. So, I mean, I could see them setting this up, again, using a Matt Drudge straw man.
I think they're going to – I don't think it's going to be political as much as internet is.
They've had some very heavy political stories, heavy-handed political stories.
Yeah.
Superman stories, or Batman with anti-gun, things like that.
They do that sometimes, but this doesn't feel like that. It really does feel like we are going to attack – the new mode of communication that's undoing our business. Because that's the thing. These guys hate online. They really fear and hate it. And so, why?
Really?
Well, okay, they don't fear and hate it, but they don't understand it. And they're very nervous about it undermining their mind.
Well, I actually go along with the fear and hate, because look at, and you'll have to refresh my memory, Mark Waid.
Yeah.
I mean, when he started up his webcomic company, the reaction to people in the industry towards him,
yeah,
wow, I mean, that was just
And it was there was a lot of negative reaction from comic book shops. And I think this is another problem. Superman's still sold in comic book shops. They can't show online being great and full of money because the comic book shops will not like that message. And they are still married to that model.
So another winner brought to us from Dan DiDio and Jim Lee over at DC Comics. Now, of course, I mean, it could be a complete success if maybe Clark Kent went shirtless wearing a pair of Nyan Cat tassels. So I'm sure a lot of women would tune in for that.
I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's not... I've never been really that much of a fan of Nyan Cat. Maybe if they were... tassel shaped in some other internet meme, I might be interested.
Yeah,
but...
have Superman shield tassels that he's wearing. You know, whatever.
Oh, God. I think I was
next up from DC Comics.
Just to laugh at it.
Clark Kent the stripper.
Well, I mean,
well,
now technically they did say they didn't say Drudge Report. They said he was going to do something online.
Now,
I mean,
there were several reports, including one from Blaster.com, our friends over at Sci-Fi, who spell about as well as you do, Eric, who had a story where it specifically said the next Drudge Report.
No, but that was an interpretation of something the DiDio said. DiDio hinted that it would be online. He has not specifically said Drudge Report. So he could be a web cartoonist, but, you know, if they're looking for Clark Kent to make the most money possible online... Maybe there's going to be some
Nyan Cat. He is the Man of Steel. He probably has a very hot bod.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
God, we're going. Okay, folks, we're going to change the topic before somebody says something that we shouldn't. And that
this is the horror show. I mean, it's Halloween. Yes. We are.
No, we are
horrifying.
R R O R, not H O R E. There's a big difference there. Okay, W H O R E. Yes, I can spell, folks. Speaking about which, our next story is going to be about Wikipedia. We talked about Wikipedia nearing completion. Now, I personally wanted this one in because they talk about not adding new content in. And, of course, Wikipedia has always been on my list ever since the great webcomic purge they've had. And it's been more than one.
Fist shake. I was on there. I was one of those comics that was purged.
Well, see, and I mean, I talk about things like The Watch, where we survived the first purge, and then they went out of their way to find some sort of loophole to get rid of it, except for a very narrow category. So, something that claims to be the encyclopedia of everything, and then anytime that there's new content that they personally don't agree with, it gets... they get rid of it.
Yeah.
I think it goes deeper than that. There is Wikipedia is definitely not a unbiased source on many things.
For the kiddies out there who don't know what the great webcomic purge was, back in the day, it used to be that if you went on Wikipedia, just like you could get every single Battlestar Galactica episode ever made, summaries, you could also get summaries of webcomics. So people put summaries of webcomics, you could research your favorite webcomics. Then they got an editor who didn't like webcomics and single-handedly went through and removed almost all the webcomics off of the system.
Except for the four webcomics that he liked. I mean, I think it was XKCD, PvP, and two others, which nobody had ever heard of.
And went through and removed all of these. And they've never gone back on this. They still are keeping webcomics off of the system for a greater amount. Now, they're saying it's integrity. I would question that. I think it's animosity. But, yeah, that's one of the reasons that you can't find anything about webcomics on Wikipedia is they pulled it off.
Seeing that it's running out of new people adding new material and hearing that editors are leaving, I'm not surprised. I mean, first of all, the coding that goes into a wiki like this is so convoluted. It makes HTML look straightforward. And then to go through the legalese, the rule system behind Wikipedia is enough to make an IRS lawyer's head spin.
Yeah, but
so you got to deal with the moderators that are left, which are probably like those, you know, like this fellow, very hard-assed about whatever it is they're editing, and you know, then there's arguments and differences of opinion of exactly what is legitimate. And I read the arguments on the pages that were deleted, and they were pretty extensive. And it was obvious that there were people who didn't feel that like, you know, webcomics should be excluded, and there were being shouted down by like two voices that said, yes, they should. But I guess we're more senior than them in terms of editing. But I could see if this is a common thread, well, no wonder they're leaving.
Yeah. I mean, what good is it to have put a bunch of work into something like this to see a select few lord it over and put their own biased spin and opinions in rather than letting the truth out?
So essentially Wikipedia isn't crowdsourced. It's just another hierarchical encyclopedia, and the editors determine what goes in. And isn't that like against the initial premise of Wikipedia that people put up?
It is
the problem with all crowdsourced systems, in that once seniority starts becoming an issue, you start losing that free and open discussion. And I think one of the problems we see with Wikipedia is it's just been around so long, it's no longer fun. Because there's always some guy saying, I've been back here for 10 years, you have to listen to me, sort of situation.
Human
exactly.
Nature.
And I mean, in an organization, it's going to default into a hierarchical structure, because there are going to be people who are natural leaders and people who are natural followers. And those who want to be leaders, who will take the power and run with it if they get it.
And if they've been there a long time, they may gain additional abilities, moderator abilities, or whatever. So there actually does become a hierarchy. Yeah.
Exactly, and even leaving out Ben, I mean, you've got one guy in charge, which is I can't remember what his name is. I don't care what his name is, but anybody who goes buddy buddy with him is going to be able to use that to leverage what they want as well. So, I mean, the entire structure of the whole open source thing, open crowdsource of Wikipedia was always hot steaming load. It just hit it better and for a longer time than most people would have thought.
Yeah.
So hearing that is near completion because people aren't adding stuff, not a surprise, folks. Not a surprise.
Yeah, Wikipedia has a problem with editors.
It's not really nearing completion, it's nearing implosion.
Yeah.
Well, it's not, yet again, I don't think we're saying the death nail of Wikipedia here. I really don't think that. I think it's simply a situation that's going to reach a point where the amount of effort put into it can only keep it steady state.
Yeah. It can't
grow
beyond
that.
It's the point of diminishing returns. Mm-hmm. And I will be honest, I mean, I know there are going to be a lot more people out there who want to vandalize some of the articles that are up there. We've seen it already, with especially during a political season such as we have going on in the U.S. right now.
Yeah, but eventually Romney supporters will stop doing crappy stuff like that, and we can move on.
Yeah.
Come on, I get one, Tom.
Well, that's a half a one. But so I think we're all in agreement that Wikipedia is becoming, well, outmoded, and like I said, diminishing returns is fast approaching.
I don't know about that. I think that they will have to start paying people. I think that's where it's going to go.
Yeah,
that's the jump the shark moment, is it?
Yeah.
Mm.
But let's go ahead and go on to our next story. We've only got two left. This one is, could the New York Comic Con overshadow San Diego? Oh, boy. I wish you had mentioned, Eric, that you wish Jason was here because he's been working with the New York Comic Con, and I've been an attendee over San Diego for a long while, both as an exhibitor and as a professional. And there are a few things that I heard recently about the New York Comic Con, plus knowing the locales. I don't think San Diego has anything to worry about. I mean, it's closer to the entertainment center of Los Angeles. New York may be right there for DC and Marvel, but you've got a lot more which is going on with San Diego.
Yeah, it's an interesting question because I've been to San Diego, and it's hard to find comics in San Diego Comic-Con these days.
I mean, comics are very far in the back. You go past movies, you go past video games, because that is the center of, I mean, that's the industries that are nearby there. I think one argument you can make for New York is that New York is closer to comic creators. You know, the artists and the companies that work on comics, they are more New York based. So,
well, that's not exactly true anymore, especially with Warner moving a lot of DC stuff out to Los Angeles and a lot more of the writers coming out of screenwriting gigs over in Los Angeles. So, I mean, they're still over there. So it's a balance. And to me, it comes down to one thing. I mean, well, two things. You've got the history of San Diego Comic-Con going back over 40 years. New York Comic Con is a relatively recent thing.
Right.
It's an upstarter compared to the longevity there. And two, the locale. I mean, San Diego is a beautiful area. The Gaslamp District is marvelous. I mean, it's the sightseeing, the tourism, the food. Oh, God, the food. And the whole city, especially around the convention center, get into the act with San Diego Comic Con. I mean, it's a huge thing for them. New York, it just strikes me as yet another convention.
I think you can't make a very strong argument saying that New York isn't a tourist destination. It may not be a tourist destination for you, and I can wholly understand that. There's a certain type of person who likes New York, and there's a certain type of person that finds it very unpleasant. But I think you can't make the argument, oh, New York is too boring. I don't think that argument holds water.
Oh, I never said New York was boring. I just said that when you compare New York, the look, the feel, and by God, the smell of New York versus San Diego, I mean, it doesn't compare.
Again, San Diego's the beach over the city, and that's fine, but that doesn't make people who like cities not enjoy comics.
Oh, well, I didn't say city because, I mean, hey, I'm a Chicago boy. New York just does nuts.
Well, let's look at the actual factors around what, you know, the convention in terms of, like, you know, I've been to San Diego Comic-Con. That's the only one I've actually been to. I've been to San Diego. I do think it is gorgeous. But there are some fundamental issues that San Diego is running into, namely that they cannot accommodate the number of people that are wanting to go to the San Diego Comic-Con. Like, it's getting to be an impossible task to register and to find lodging. It was hard back in 2004 when I went, but it's down near impossible now. If you are like a first time con, you know, if this is your first time going to San Diego Comic-Con, you may not get to go for a couple of years till you figure out how many, you know, to camp the site before the tickets go on sale. You know, you're not going to get in at the door. The convention center isn't getting any larger in like the reasonable near future. They're using the whole thing now. They've already, you know, they're turning fans away. Whereas if New York is growing, and I know there was that report in the past about San Diego not being a very good venue anymore for smaller comics, like selling like actual comics. And if New York is actually selling the comics, then you're actually seeing more of a shift of the comic aspect to a con where they make money and that they can have more people and they can grow, as opposed to where you've got essentially what's becoming a trade show or preview fan extravaganza down at San Diego. It's not really as much a Comic-Con as it is this sort of expo.
Yeah, I think that's one of the defining parts. San Diego's gotten to the point where they could care less about their artist alley, where New York Comic-Con actually puts a lot of effort into their artist alley. Now, they've had a problem with the Jarvis Center just being under constant repair for the last 3 years, so it's been a relatively unpleasant space, but they're fine. I mean, one of the reasons this article says, can they outstrip it, is they finally repaired their convention center. And when you talk about absorbing people, New York has a higher capacity to absorb individuals than San Diego will ever have. It has more of an infrastructure, more built up, more ability to get people about. You can, with New York, theoretically get a hotel in Jersey and take public transportation to New York Comic Con without much of a problem. That's not true for San Diego. That being said, New York has a lot of problems with it that make it not the most ideal venue. One of the big problems, and this is a problem that I noticed having looked at both cons, is the problems with the strength of the union for New York Comic Con. They will gouge you for everything at New York. It is just absolutely ridiculous.
When they were talking about San Diego Comic Con moving to Los Angeles, that was one of the big things that a lot of the exhibitors had against it, because you had to use union for everything. I mean, when we set up the 910 Comics booth down there, we couldn't, I mean, I carried in the large screen display that we used. Yeah. We carried in our own equipment. That would not have been allowed in Los Angeles or at a New York.
No.
I mean, this is stuff that's easily done, but because of the power of the unions, it's a major expense for exhibitors.
Yeah, and I mean, the arguments are twofold. New York has better facilities. It's just a better facility for it. But, Tom, you do make a point that the environment can be a little less pleasant. And I think that is a valid argument as well. But the question is, you know, do you want a con that really accommodates comics, or do you want a con that accommodates movies and shoves comics into a corner and is more about fan stuff? And that's sort of two competing viewpoints that you have with two different Comic-Cons.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, San Diego has become more of a science fiction fantasy expo, as it was said. It still does have a lot of strength, and the strength of the growing webcomics section, which they have in the dealer's section, is an example of the fact that they're continuing to grow. We've talked about stuff like this, of course, on our show. So, I mean, it does have an advantage over New York if it sticks primarily to comics, but I'm not seeing that either. I'm going to see it going more towards entertainment as well. But it sounds like we've come to the end of this one. We've got one more topic to talk about, and that is the adult content being allowed back on Project Wonderful.
All right. Now, give me just a second to sort of give the history here, because, yet again, people who have been listening to the show know this history, but there's just a little bit about I do want to talk about. And this is starting off. So what happened is Project Wonderful started out, and they allowed adult content. They had the not safe for work category, and that was allowed for adult content. So adult content was available on Project Wonderful when they started out. What happened was PayPal, speaking of purges, came along and sort of said, all right, we're gonna come in here and we're gonna stop all adult content. And PayPal went through a huge purge of their system. This was about 2 years ago, where they were just attacking any webcomic that was adult.
Well, and let me interject there, because being associated with one of those comics, PayPal basically said, we have to do this because some of the credit card companies we work with are owned by foreign companies that have a restriction against some of this stuff. So we, to be able to use those credit cards, we have to say we cannot allow some of this stuff.
There has been a lot of arguments about where this came from. Yes. Some people say it came from their merger with eBay. And the CEO of eBay. Some people said it came from Visa itself, and some people said it came from overseas. I have been unable to track down where it came from originally.
People have said that it came from an edict from the elder gods.
Yeah, I mean,
deep into the earth.
Yeah, but basically, PayPal went on a tear of attacking adult sites and saying, we're going to get all adult content off of our system. And Project Wonderful, which primarily used PayPal for everything, saw this happening, and they said, look, we don't want to stop censor adult content, but we cannot lose PayPal, because PayPal's policy was, if you break our contract, and our contract says nothing that is considered obscene, with no definition of what obscene is, of course. They said if PayPal would say, you're banned for life, you can never use our system again. So Project Wonderful understandably said, okay, we can't risk that happening, and so they had to get rid of all their adult
sites. Now, they had a few that were kind of grandfathered in and still allowed to operate, but in general, they could not allow adult sites on there because they were afraid of PayPal. What happened was PayPal continued on their purging, and then they went after books. And this was a mistake on PayPal's part, because they went after Smashwords, which was sort of a fan site, was self-publishing books, and shut down Smashwords. Well, the internet got heard that PayPal was burning books, and the backlash was furious. Now, there was a bit of confusion at PayPal at this point, where the compliance department said, no, we're still have the exact same policies. And the president of marketing said, oh, no, we won't censor books. We're not that type of company. Don't worry. We're not going to shut you down. But basically, there's been a slow dialing back from PayPal ever since that, where they basically say, oh, we'll talk to you. Well, we're reasonable. Where they weren't reasonable before.
Yeah, so, where they weren't talking. I mean, if you tried to get any information as to why a site was shut down, locked out on PayPal, you would get nothing.
Yeah, they got smacked around in public relations. And you can sort of see they're still a little nervous about it. They've just started this whole Jeff Goldblum commercial of saying, oh, PayPal's so great. So I think they're having some problems with their growth right now. And this is why they're being more reasonable about it. But that's the long history. I don't know if you guys want to say anything more, or have I...
Well, I mean, I will say that one of the things that I like about Project Wonderful as opposed to other ad systems is that not only can we schedule what sort of ads, you know, good for children, good for teens, adult, not safe for work, to which site we want, we can individually approve some of them, because we've had some over at 910 that tried to slip through adult content and some of the other categories. And I like that. That is one of the major benefits that I see, to as opposed to some of the other ad systems like Google Ads, where if you just sign up, you whatever they think is appropriate goes through.
Now, the thing is, you are paying for that, because you do get lower returns on Project Wonderful than you get on other ad systems.
Absolutely. But when you, depending upon the type of site you run, I mean, on one hand, if you're running a site where you know you're going to have younger kids in there, you don't want, you know, Nyan Cat pasties coming up. Yeah, that's going to be the main of the show.
Are they even good for kids?
Oh, God, no.
Mommy, what is this thing? It's a flying kitty.
You know, they can stick it to their forehead, or,
you know. Or stick it on, you know, they could braid little buns in their hair and stick them on the buns.
Yeah, there you
that,
go.
That would be adorable, but latently side, creepy.
I mean, if you're running a porn site, you don't want something for Snuggle Buddies, the blanket puppet thing, whatever they're called, to come up. I mean, that just, it doesn't fit the site. By being able to, I mean, does it cost you a little bit returns? Absolutely, but you get to run the advertising that's on your
okay,
site.
Okay, wait a second. People who look at porn don't need blankets?
Well, if they have puppet blankets, I do not want to know what they're using them for. That way, I mean, I've been furry cons. I don't want to see that.
Aw. The other thing, though, about it is that, like, there are a lot of webcomics that just don't have the numbers to qualify for a lot of these other ad systems. Like, Project Wonderful doesn't care, which is the nice thing, and it's easy to apply to. Like, trying to do the Google's ads app is just sometimes painful.
Yeah, if you're going through and you're making a penny a day on an ad from Project Wonderful, that's a penny a day or more than you'd be making if you didn't have any ads because you didn't qualify.
Well, yeah, and the other thing for Project Wonderful, and this is sort of an interesting conversation, because with Project Wonderful, if you think about it, if you're making $10 a month with Project Wonderful, if you were on a professional ad system, you could probably increase your return by 25%. That's $250 per month. Is it really worth $250 per month to really worry about the other ad systems?
Right.
Plus, if you're making $1,000 a month, now the professional ad system looks a lot better. You know?
But it also goes through, I mean, I go back to content, because forget the type of content. Project Wonderful allows you to have either just static ads or allows you to have animated ads, as opposed to some of the other ad system where they're not just animated but full video that can take over your full screen. I know that's the reason why some people didn't like some of the other ad systems that were going on, because it overrode your content to run their ad.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of us don't want animated ads and stuff. Like, I don't. I don't want flash ads or animated ads popping up on my site. There's too much potential for abuse, and they look ugly. So, right. You know, and I want to
It immediately
keep
draws
the
attention away from your main content. I mean, an ad should be there and should be seen. Seen, not heard, to use the old adage. Because if you're
as
content, you know, that, then you're losing your readership.
As a question, how does it work if you have a webcomic that follows a story that sometimes is adult and sometimes isn't?
It depends if somebody over at PayPal, I mean, Project Wonderful, I've never really seen
that well, anything, but PayPal. The classification of Project Wonderful is any adult content on any page makes it adult. And that's the same, and the same rules with PayPal. Anything obscene makes it obscene.
Right. Basically, what it comes down to is if somebody gets a bug up their butt about it, if it is reported, you're going to be losing everything. If it's not reported, you're getting away with it, and it can last for a while. But speaking about lasting for a while, we've lasted a pretty good long while with this one. We're coming up on time, so I want to go ahead and thank everybody for joining us, starting off with our guest host here, from Genderatic, that's GenderRattic.
No. One T.
Well, I asked you earlier. You said two T's.
No, I said one T. It's gender erratic, but without... worst. And you don't repeat the ER twice, so it's gender plus erratic, but you just use ER once. So an erratic only has one T, and if you try to extract a URL out of that, good luck.
With all the talking about the Nyan Cat babies, I mean, I'm used to two T's. So, but listen, she's got.
Oh, God, that pun, it burns.
Thank you for coming on. And I'm not sorry about the puns, Typhon Blue.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And of course, from evilspacecat.com, Marie Terry.
Yes.
From bladebunny.com, Eric Kimball.
Thank you, Tom.
And that leaves me, your main host. I'm from Thomas Rohr from 910 Comics at 910cmx.com. And someone who will never wear Nyan Cat pasties, we'll see you in the funny papers.